Yeah, good morning. Happy Monday to you. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I'm Reginald Atatula alongside Luke Morrow for this Monday. John Lopez got the day off. Figgy Fig still rocking with you. And you, obviously, hanging out with us and getting involved with the program as you know how to. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. And, of course, we appreciate the MoCaram Injury Lawyers for the live streams. Both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. Luke, what's happening, man?
Oh, not much. Good to be here. I mean, tough weekend for the Astros, but obviously gearing up for the Texans. Always a great time to hang out with you guys and talk Houston sports.
Yeah, let's talk about all of it over the course of the next 4 hours. We got you till 2. In the course of that, we'll do a lot of things that we need to do during this time, including we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans off of the practice field when it comes to what's happening out there in West Virginia. You know, we still want to keep tied into the Houston Texans as we're gearing up for preseason game number one this weekend when they'll catch the Vikings in Minnesota. So still very much going to be tied into what's happening out there. In fact, there's a couple of things already happening that have caught my attention this morning. So we'll talk about that, but we'll also get a chance to chat with Sean Pendergast, courtesy of Fly by Yuengling at 12:40 to get his thoughts from practice today. Because we are still on the ground, boots on the ground, giving you coverage of your Houston Texans.
I got my boots on the ground.
You would know Boot Man, wouldn't you?
I was thinking about that song, Where Them Fans At.
Oh, yes. That has been a nice viral sensation. Actually, is it still viral considered? Like, it's been a little bit of a time.
Yeah, I think it's normal now. I might have to play that song when Sean hop on since he actually got the boots on the ground.
Look. I think the thing about Sean is that he enjoys, like, he is a fan of wrestling. I'm certain that that was a good part of his weekend, watching SummerSlam, I believe, is the wrestling event.
Oh, yeah.
That was this weekend.
Big weekend.
And I think that, yeah, he will be very much tapped into the idea of having a certain level of walkout music in that space.
That's right.
Let's talk a little bit, though, about your Houston Texans. All right, like I mentioned, out there working out in West Virginia already in practice, and a couple of notable things that the various reporters are already getting into. Damian Pierce and Christian Harris, neither of them have been practicing. Damian Pierce has been on the physically unable to perform list. He remains there. And Christian Harris has not been on the physically unable to perform list, but he also remains out of the, you know, out of the practice. They're working over to the side, though, which maybe does portend some level of return to play, hopefully sooner rather than later. Which of those for you, Luke, is the bigger deal, not being out here practicing, especially at this juncture where we get out to the cool temperatures in West Virginia?
Yeah, interesting. By the way, on the cool temperatures, they were talking about it was 62 degrees there in West Virginia. I mean, it's still August. That, I think, is too much. It's too hot here. I lost power this morning at 4 a.m. because I assume, like, rolling blackouts. I don't know. It happened over the weekend, too. Not at my place, but a few other places around. I tried to go to lunch. The place was closed. They didn't have power. So it's too hot here in Houston. I think 62 is too cold in West Virginia. There's some sort of happy medium that I would prefer for August. But that's besides the point. To answer your question.
Ask Luke already. I love it.
I'm just saying. 62, it's still August. What are we doing?
62 is overrated.
Yeah. In August.
That's not football enough.
No.
We need to hit a nice 73 degrees in order to get football weather for real.
That's good weather right there. I need a little more than 62 when it's August 4th still. Next month, October, 62 is nice. To answer your question, I think Damian Pierce, because Christian Harris to me is just so, I don't know, confusing. It's almost like, this is probably a bad comparison, but it's almost like, was Al Capone's vault when there was all this buildup and then they opened the vault, there was nothing in there, and it was like a mystery of like, what? There was so much anticipation that they thought all this stuff was in the vault that wasn't in there. And for Harris, trying to figure out now going back almost 12 months of what's going on with this guy, and he made that return last year and then, you know, wasn't much of a return, and now who knows. But Pierce for me, because I'm still intrigued by the running back position. It was one of my questions going into this year when you're relying, and I think you've said similar things too, Reggie, if I've heard you in recent weeks, but when you're relying on two running backs that are approaching their 30s, obviously Chubb has the injury history that he's trying to come back from, and Mixon right now is not on the field. So I think there's still a lot of questions at that running back position. I think Woody Marks, you hope he can play a good role, but obviously he's still a question as a rookie. And Damian Pierce has some experience being with this organization, of course. I think he's a better fit for this system than what he had to deal with last year, so I think he can bring more to the table. And then also, you know, I was reading over the weekend Ben Solak talking about Stroud last year, saw so much too deep coverage, and the way to improve that's a better run game. So then you talk about the more importance of the run game this year. So all of this is to say I'm more concerned, I guess, right now about that running back room than, say, the linebackers or even the defense as a whole. So I go with Damian Pierce because I think there's a great opportunity for him if he could get back out there.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thought. I was hoping that at some point here, sooner rather than later, he'd be able to get out there. Obviously, credit due to, like, Woody Marks and Jawar Jordan. I think that they've shown pretty damn well to this point in the, what, previous nine practices that we've been able to get thus far in training camp 2025. But, I mean, you have a rookie and a Jawar Jordan who is, I mean, a second-year player that has not necessarily been at least he has not seemed highly regarded, at least in the places that the Texans have placed him, right? He's been kind of a practice squad guy that's had the elevations and maybe had a little bit of run, although he has handled those opportunities well. I do wonder, and then, of course, you talk about this offseason where you add a Nick Chubb, you draft a Woody Marks, which would seem to indicate that at least the Texans have not, you know, valued him highly enough to believe that he absolutely will take a large swath of the snaps or what have you for running back. But those guys have practiced pretty well. I think that it remains to be seen what they look like in a game before we start talking about them in that space. And, yeah, I think the point ultimately is the only guy that has a level of experience at, you know, in what you're trying to do is Nick Chubb, who has injury issues. It's a question that remains there. I'm trying to fight the – I know that a decent amount of this is just kind of like anxiety-driven rather because, you know, Joe Mixon is a capable running back when he is ready, and it does seem like all indications are he will be ready for the season. I think that's still the kind of thought process to the point being. So I'm trying not to be too anxious about that. Something that seems like you're a little bit anxious about, Luke, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, is the defense in a weird way, because the defense, I mean, they have shown to be incredible. They've clearly been the winners of camp to this point, as much as you can kind of view things in those terms. But you kind of seem to believe that there's a double-edged sword to this, right?
Yeah, I think so. For one, look, I do think the defense is going to be really good this year, top five, maybe top 10. But at the same time, when they're going up against this offense in training camp, I mean, do we have to take some of these results with a grain of salt? I think it's going to be a really good defense. But that's where the concern comes in. It's almost like in The Office, the Michael Scott Paper Company, when they visit their accountant. And Michael says, you know, it's our low prices that are keeping us in business. And the accountant says, no, it's actually your low prices that are putting you out of business. And it's when you think like this thing that is your greatest strength actually turns out to be somewhat of a weakness. And what I mean in that is a bit of a weakness for the team as a whole when it comes to the offense, where we keep getting these reports, and it looks like they ended Saturday. You were out there on Saturday. You know better than me. I was not there on Saturday. It seems like they ended practice on a little bit of a high note offensively, but they kept getting these stories in the press conferences and the reports last week, and you guys were out there all week talking about it, just how defense keeps winning and this offense. You're trying to learn a new offense, and I think if nothing else, just for the mentality, it's almost like a jump shooter just needing to see the ball go through the net once or twice to get the psyche back, that when you are an offense that is trying to bounce back from last year and you're now trying to develop a new offense and you are just getting like curb stomped by your defense every day, and it's just like, man, you know, when are we going to see some of these improvements or see some of the things clicking with the offense to the point where Stroud, you know, threw his helmet Saturday before that good finish. And just that mentality of, it was already a tough year last year. You make the changes this offseason, and then you just keep getting beat up every time. Sometimes you just got to see the ball go through the net. Sometimes you need that small victory. I'm the youngest of three boys. I got beat up all the time. So, you know, when there was that one glimmer of hope where I got a small win, you start feeling a little good about yourself instead of just being beat down every day. And I think that could be important for this offense that's trying to turn the corner this year, learn a new system, to have some of those small victories instead of going up against this, to the compliments of this defense, this great defense every day where you feel like you just can't get anything done.
Sounds like you're pro call the dogs off to some degree, in a way that I think D'Amico kind of joked at in one of his availabilities last week. It might have been Friday, talking about how, you know, Will was getting too close to the quarterback too often. And yeah, look, I understand where you're coming from. I think it's kind of interesting, though, that you use the framework of, you know, being the youngest in a group of with like three, or just having older siblings, because I always think about it. Reminds me of, you know, when you see in sports, I always think about it in basketball terms, but I think it happens in other spaces as well, where you kind of have a group of brothers and it's like the youngest is the best that's coming because he's had to develop the tools and tricks in order to, you know, combat guys that are older and more developed than him that he's constantly playing against. I think that's the thought process. That's the watchword of competition that this Texans team has come up against. I do wonder if that's ultimately what happens in practice for this Texas team, because look, in theory, that would be good. I mean, if you want to be the level of offense or team just in general that you're hoping to be, you're going to need to face off against teams, defenses of the caliber, or at least similar to the caliber of the defense that this Texans team has, right? The Ravens are going to give you some struggle, some issues. I mean, the Bills, if they have their druthers, are going to give you some issues on defense. And we already have a decent amount of familiarity with Steve Spagnuolo's defense there in Kansas City. Like, these are tough things that you are combating against. And so if you find a way to figure out the tips and tricks now in order to deal with this kind of defense, you will better set yourself up for success. The question I have is not necessarily is the defense going too hard on them. Is does this offense, and particularly the line, have it within themselves to be able to compete against them in any circumstance, right? Like, is this offensive line talented enough to handle that? Because I think in some ways there's been admissions all the way through the offseason from this team that this offense is not as talented as maybe what others would have wanted. But the idea is, oh, well, the competition will raise the boats. The competition will make them better. Iron will sharpen iron in that way. But I'm wondering if we're starting to see some of the issues with kind of acquiescing and kind of letting up on the idea that off of the jump, we're not going to have a crazy amount of talent. And this is also where it kind of comes into play. I don't know that this is going to be a big deal. However, if you were listening to Training Camp Live with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris just a second ago, you will have heard them make mention of the idea that your presumed starting left tackle, Cam Robinson, you know, kind of went down in a play and kind of came off the field a little gimpy. Again, he walked off under his own power. It is practice. They are playing the car crash sport. These things will happen. But I think it reminds you again, even as you're starting to see a starting line coalesce, that if you have to get to depth, where are you also, right? Because of the, you know, seemingly lack of talent, at least the way I will say it, for the offensive line. So I don't know that I blame it on the defense, although I think, again, the defense being as good as they can, I think it gives you a good litmus test for what your offensive line is. And early on, even though, again, they're focusing on foundational pieces and making sure that their fundamentals are right, it keeps coming to mind to me, okay, do they have the high watermark capable within them of even being an adversarial foe for a defense of this caliber?
I'm with you 100%. You know, this defense is kind of like the donut on the baseball bat, where you use that because, you know, then you get up to the batter's box, it's then lighter to swing the bat. And so if you go up against this defense all training camp and throughout preseason, by the time you face some of the other defenses in the NFL, it'll feel like that lighter bat that you've been trained for, and an easier swing for the offense. But for me, it's just, and to your point, maybe it's better to find out the answers right away of like, oh, shoot, this offensive line isn't good enough. But for me, the whole thing is, while I agree with your point, it's just the fact of the beginning of the year. Like, I want to just ease in this offense first, and then you have all season to sharpen things against this really good defense. But give them some small victories early on so that you start feeling good right away and you have some of that momentum and encouragement, and then you get to continue to be, you know, get better as you go up against this defense throughout the regular season, throughout the rest of this month gearing up for week one. But it's just a tough start to use another cliche, you're just throwing them into the deep end here against this defense and seeing if they can swim. And more days than not, it seems like they've been sinking or drowning, unfortunately. And with the whole iron sharpens iron, I think it's a bit of a misnomer right now, because, you know, like in basketball, they always say, like, if you're the best player on the court, it's time to find a new court. And so the defense is really good, but when you are not being challenged enough by the offense, you know, that's another issue for me that I think, It's that double-edged sword of the defense. Again, really good. I'm not coming down on the defense, but how much are they being tested? And is the offense almost being too tested right now? And by the way, then they get the Vikings, which things, I know it's the preseason, but things may not be much easier when you go up against Brian Flores. And we saw what happened last year in that Vikings defense. Flores is a New England guy. Kevin O'Connell's a McVay guy. So they also have familiarity with maybe what the Texans want to do offensively. So it's just a tough start to this new offense for the Texans.
That's interesting. I'm not worried about the defense, and I hear what you're saying, like the iron sharpens iron. I think that they're very capable of handling their business. All of the baseline things that I would look at seem to be the same, right, or seem to be in the place that would make me feel comfortable with what's happening with the defense. I think you're seeing kind of the fundamentals of the pass rushing still showing up. You're seeing secondary, including depth, kind of play their system, play their spots, not break the system, but still make plays on the football. All of that is what I want to see. Offensively, though, I think, again, has been the question for all of us, and it continues to be that. How does this particularly hit you? Because we mentioned Cam Robinson coming up a little gimpy. When he was out, for the moments that he was out, and I don't know that he is, if he has returned to play. However, when he was being out, they moved Juice Scruggs to right guard, who he's been getting a little work at right guard, both of the interior guard spots, in addition to, obviously, we know that he has played center in his time. Tytus Howard moved to right tackle, and then Ariante Ursary moved to left tackle with that group. Not bringing in one of the other tackles that they move up. In fact, I remember Nick Cassero even mentioned when he was talking about tackles with Payne and Pendergast last week, he still mentioned that, hey, Tytus can still slide out there. You see them doing that, going to that in this moment, instead of moving like a Blake Fisher into that spot, playing right tackle. Does that for you solidify what this starting offensive line is in circumstances with or in the mindset, I imagine, of the Texans right now?
Yeah, I think it just tells us more about Blake Fisher. I think all of the actions since the end of last season have kind of told us all we need to know about Blake Fisher. And I know Lopez is really down on Blake, right? So I guess I can continue that sitting in this chair for him today. But my personal rule in football, people could tell me it doesn't matter. It's no difference. I like keeping guys at set positions, so I wouldn't like the idea of moving Tytus Howard back and forth throughout the year. I want him to just have to be able to focus on that one position and be the stalwart and be the leader at that position on this offensive line. But I've also made it very clear on these airwaves that I'm not a big fan of Cam Robinson either, and that's not me rooting for any sort of injury or issue for him. I hope he's good to go, but I just don't think he's a very good left tackle in today's football. So just that iteration of the offensive line that you laid out, I honestly might like that better than what they've been running with, or better than having Cam at the left tackle. So
having the rookie Tay Ursary out there.
Yeah. I think that, I know it's asking a lot right away, but
it is. I mean, that's offensive line for rookies, unless you're like the very, very upper echelon of rookies, is a steep learning curve jumping in the offensive line. You don't often see guys jump in and immediately make that level of impact. So you'd be asking a lot of Tay.
Yeah, I don't even think that was their plan to begin with. I don't think they planned for him to be the left tackle starting week one like that. I think the plan was to probably have Cam Robinson there and then kind of bring him on a little bit. But if that's the case, that's a big ask.
But do you guys anticipate him to be starting at one of the tackles week one, or do you still think it's Blake Fisher?
No, it definitely has felt like, as he is maintain that right tackle role in most of the first units that they've thrown out there at camp, and then today again with them moving him to left tackle as soon as Cam Robinson is not available, it seems very obvious that they're confident in him, that he is up there on your tackles. And I think this particular lineup that they threw out, again, the left tackle being Ursary, then Tomlinson left guard, Jake Andrews at center, I think that they could go either way with him and Patterson. I don't know that they've settled in there. Right guard being Juice Scruggs sliding up with Tytus Howard moving out. I think that gives us a big insight into the way that they're viewing their depth chart right now, as of right now. And it feels like the time where they're starting to build that, where, your starting five, as we have previously seen, is what it is. And then when you look at beyond that, the guys that you view as tackles, even Tytus Howard moving out is probably higher than Blake. They're low on Blake. Juice Scruggs is probably who they're looking at as guard three, before you get to like Ed Ingram or maybe even like a Jalen Thomas who has been in there. This is kind of an idea of how they feel about their offensive line as you start figuring out who your 1 through 9 or 1 through 10 are. And I guess just to circle back around to where we started from, it doesn't give me a ton of confidence because again, you're not carrying 14 guys into the season. You're carrying your 10 or so, and you're going to have 8 of them active on a game day. And those are the guys that are going to need to go and protect C.J. Stroud and create holes and gaps for Nick Chubb and Joe Mixon. And as of right now, I'm still leaving. There's still something left to be desired for me.
No, I agree with you there. My point just being, though, if you're going to start Ursary on the offensive line anyways, for me, I don't care if it's right tackle or left tackle. I think it's a little different nowadays with the tackles. Maybe this is a hot take, I don't know, because the pass rushers move around enough, and especially if you have Cam Robinson and you have a rookie on the other end, you're probably going to focus on that rookie on the right side anyways. So just in regards to specifically that conversation of right tackle, left tackle, Ursary, if he's going to be one of your starting linemen in week one, I don't care if it's the right tackle or left tackle. That doesn't make a big difference to me anymore, like, 10, 15 years ago when it was all about the left tackle. So if he's going to be out there, put him at either one, and it seems like he's going to be out there because, like I said, the actions, they just don't seem to be very high on Blake Fisher since the end of last year.
Yeah, that's the alarming part to me. It seemed like he jumped Blake Fisher by a couple feet, man. Like, it's not even the question that Blake Fisher possibly starting.
Which hopefully that portends good things for Ariante Ursary, right? Like, I think that that's that's good. And I hear what you're saying on the tackles. I think for me, actually, what that then pops out to is the secondary move of Titus out to right tackle, and then having Juice Scruggs in there at guard, where I have one of the kind of things that I've held on to as a positive for this offensive line is the amount of size that they seemingly have put all the way across the line. Juice Scruggs having to come in and, you know, be in that space. And again, I want to acknowledge Cam Robinson catches a little knock here in practice. I don't think that this means that he is hurt and lost for a good amount of time. But I think just thinking through what that permutation would be, having Juice Scruggs at guard versus a bigger, more substantial Titus Howard, I think that that is something I'm not comfortable with, especially because we saw the effect of interior pressure on C.J. Stroud last year. And not to blame Juice Scruggs exclusively for that interior pressure, but I could easily see that being more prominent for him rather than the more sizable Titus Howard in that phone.
And that's group. And this is very important too, because this is pretty much their B team. So if one of the tackles was to get hurt, they're not going to Blake Fisher as the swing tackle type of guy. This is their B team, so they're taking Titus Howard. And
true.
So that when if Cam do get hurt during the season. Now they're going to this. That might be the possibility.
That's a good point. Yeah, right. Speaks to maybe the lack of depth at the tackle position or just how low they are on Blake Fisher. Just to put a bow on all of it, the texts coming in have been mixed on my take with the offense versus defense. But I will highlight this one from the 832. If you're starting to learn to play piano, you wouldn't start by playing Mozart. I guess that was my point. You got to ease in with the new offense.
Well, and that's what Nick Haley has harped on, fundamentals, making sure that, you know, all the fundamentals are right. And he sticks to that point. And so you got to hope that that is still where they're focusing on, is making sure that the fundamentals are right and that that ultimately shows up. We'll see what that looks like this weekend when we get to the Vikings. But before we get there, we got practice all week long. And Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne are both out there. And Sean out there courtesy of Flight by Yingling. We'll talk to him at 12:40. Coming up next, though, let's talk a little bit about these Astros, where another weekend sweep, unfortunately, in Boston. Let's talk a little bit about the additions, though, because we got a chance to see all of the additions over the weekend, and maybe some of them that we're still hoping to see coming. Which of the additions, whether from trade or injury, will have the biggest impact for this Astros team going forward? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.